Father, we thank you for this time. We pray that you would just minister as we try and understand the days that we're living in from your prophetic word. And just like you told Daniel, that he who could not understand the things that you were telling him to write down in his book, his prophetic word that came from you, you told him that it's going to be sealed up, that people are not going to understand this until the last days. And as we get closer to those days, Lord, things that were foggy just even a few decades ago are becoming crystal clear. And Lord, we just pray that you would help us to be in anticipation for every single day of our life that someday we could hear the trumpet blast and you'd be taking us home to be with you. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So our topic this afternoon is the prophecy timeline update. Here it is, August 11th, 2024. There's been weeks of anticipation of a major Middle East war that could go global, where for the first time, everybody, news media, military people, politicians from around the world are all saying that we've never been closer to World War III, to global conflict than we are right now. And yet, even though, like Iran promised Israel, because you assassinated the Hamas leader, political leader in Tehran, our capital, we're going to attack you, and I've made the edict for that to happen, and which is what happened just a couple weeks ago, to kind of timestamp this for people that are watching this on YouTube or Rumble in the future. It hasn't happened yet. And there's all kinds of rumors about it. It's going to happen this next week. It's not going to happen because America has told Iran that you better not. In fact, yesterday's news was Biden said don't. So then, of course, Iran will make sure that they don't do it. Remember the last time he told them don't? Yeah, they launched 300 missiles at Israel. So that should be a sign. It's almost like when he says don't, people say yes. So that's kind of how we look at it. But someday, and here's one of the premises of the timeline, and I mentioned this on our Sunday morning services. If a war starts that then spreads through the rest of the world to become World War III, then that World War III could easily go nuclear exchange of weapons, which could also very easily lead to a fourth of the world's population dying. And if that were to happen, then we're gone before that. And so if they're really close to starting World War III, and if it's conceivable that a world war with nuclear weapons could lead to a fourth of the world's population dying, then we're really close to going. So that's my preamble to, I think we're very close. But I wanted to start with this slideshow, and you have this handout. These handouts will be posted at our website, and we're going to do, so if you're watching on YouTube, you're going to be able to hear the Bible study portion of this, and then when I use the application of how that's occurring, how the fulfillment of biblical prophecy is happening because of globalists, that are fulfilling the prophecy, will be breaking away from YouTube, and you'll have to watch the rest of it on Rumble, because YouTube doesn't believe there's anything like a global government, and therefore I'm a misinformation person. So, and they'll cancel it off of YouTube anyway. So, but I wanted to start out by saying one of the ways I look at where the church is: the church here on Earth, or is the church removed from the Earth during what we call the tribulation period. And I say, it's very clear in Scripture that God has a witness, He always has a witness on earth. And as this diagram shows, God's witness, ever since He created the heavens and the earth, there's been the witness of creation. Romans 1. He's witnessing to everybody on the planet through the creation. People are supposed to say, this place was created. There must be a creator. And they then, by a conscience, they can humble themselves and come to a faith in the Creator. And then there was about 2,000 years before Abraham was chosen by God to be his witness, to be the father of his witness people, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and the Jews. They became the witness people. Also, as soon as Moses, this is a red dot showing when Moses shows up, and he gave us the Word of God. the word of the Old Testament, and then the New Testament became the word of God, and that's a witness. So anybody that has ever read the Old Testament or the New Testament, they have the witness of the word of God that goes from now until the end of time. We have the witness of the word of God. And then when we see here the witness of Jesus on earth, he came after about 4,000 years after the fall. And the witness of Jesus came to the earth and the witness of the apostles. And now what we're in is this church age. And Romans chapter 9 through 11 explains where God explains through the apostle Paul that the Jews have been put to the side. They are no longer the witness people. God is witnessing to the world through the church that spread throughout the world. The true church is now the witness. And we're going to be seeing in the book of Daniel that God said prophetically to the Jews, through Daniel, he said, you know what, Daniel? There's 490 years where I'm going to use your people, the Jews, and your holy city, Jerusalem, as a witness until at the end of the 490 years, it's the end of all prophecies fulfilled, righteousness comes, the anointing of the Holy One. We're going to see that in our scripture in a minute. And so 483 of those years were fulfilled from the time a commandment was given to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until Jesus came, but Jesus was cut off. And so when he was cut off because he was sacrificed on our behalf, it's like a stopwatch stopped. 490-year promise of God, from God, to use the Jews, and when Jesus was cut off, God hits a stopwatch, and there's 7 years left. And when he starts the stopwatch, Daniel chapter 9, which we're going to read here in a minute, it picks up by saying, okay, then there's one more 7 year period of time for God to use the Jews and the holy city Jerusalem as a witness to the world. And that's critical because God isn't going to have a witness of the church overlapping the witness. You know, people say, well, you know, he's going to use us both in the tribulation period. The church is going to be in the tribulation period at the same time God is using the Jews as a witness. Because if you read the Bible in the book of Revelation, where do you see the church? Chapter 2 and 3 of Revelation is all about write to the church, right? Seven churches of Asia, which are representing the church ages. And then you know what? Then John hears a trumpet blast and he's taken up into heaven. Just like the rapture is going to happen when a trumpet blast calls us up to heaven. And then Revelation says, the book of Revelation, about the time, the most cataclysmic time in the history of the world, according to Jesus and the book of Revelation, the most cataclysmic time tells the church nothing. That church is never mentioned again. Until last chapter, where churches just means everybody that's gathered. and it goes to Jewish. And so this is why, and look at this timeline, the Jews are grafted back in. As Romans 11 says, God says, I'm able, God actually warns, and don't be proud against the Jews thinking I cast them off, because if you're proud, I'll take you out. The church will be done, and I'm going to go back to be using the Jews. The Jews are grafted back in. Look, temple worship starts. During the church age, there's no temple worship, but this is God's temple. And God gives divine protections to the Jews fleeing from the Antichrist here in the second half of the tribulation period. That's Jewish. The 144,000 Jews in Revelation 7 and 14 are sealed for the first 3.5 years of the tribulation period. They're Jewish. Well, you know, can't I get sealed, God? You know, these terrible cataclysms are going to come on the earth. I'm part of your bride, God. You're sealing 144,000 Jews, 12, and they're all men, 12,000 from each tribe. What about me? God's answer is, you're gone. You're raptured. And the Bible, in Isaiah, it talks about the future tribulation that comes upon the world as Jacob's trouble. You know, comes a Jacob's trouble, not Jacob and my bride's trouble. And I like what other teachers have said, that to believe in the church going through the tribulation period is to believe that Jesus is a spouse who beats his wife. because there's nothing in the Bible that talks about any protection or provision for the church to not suffer the cataclysms of the wrath of God that are happening during the entire tribulation period. So, and I also want to emphasize something that was very confusing to many people, and that is, when I was first saved 50 years ago, very shortly after that, I'm hearing prophecy, and I was hearing 50 years ago, okay, the rapture is going to could happen this week. And after the rapture, then the tribulation starts. Seven-year tribulation starts right after that. I'm going to say, based on the Word of God that we're going to cover, that can't happen. It can't be rapture today, tribulation tomorrow. And we're going to see, because you can't have tribulation until you have an Antichrist. You can't have an Antichrist until you have a global government. You can't have, actually, the Antichrist come until the global government's established with a 10-nation global empire, and then three of those guys are taken out, and then the Antichrist rises to take over the three that he put down, and now you have an Antichrist. And then the Antichrist has to then come and make a deal with the Jews for 1 7-year period of time. Boom, that's when the clock starts for the tribulation. And we're restraining the revealing of the Antichrist, so there has to be rapture of the church so that we get pulled out of the way from the restraining. And then events happen on the world that cause the formation of the global government and the rise of the Antichrist and him having the power over the whole globe to then create the covenant that makes a deal with many for 1 7-year period of time. Everybody understand that? So we have to be gone. There has to be a period of time. And that's what this timeline shows too, is that the wars leading to global government here, culminating with Ezekiel 38:39, the last war just before global government totally forms and establishes the kingdom of the Antichrist, is going to be the Ezekiel 38:39 war on this slide. So, and then I'm going to emphasize, we're just looking at this for a minute, but on this timeline, it's important that in the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth and Adam and Eve were being good created creatures, somebody told me today, I bet you they didn't even wait a day to sin against God. Well, we don't know. We don't know if it was a day or a week or a year or whatever. But there was no tribulation in the world during chapters 1 and 2 of Genesis, right? But as soon as sin entered the world, the world has tribulation. Jesus said, in this world you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer, so because I have overcome the world. And that's why I have this in lowercase, not bolded. But then, as soon as the church is gone, then chapter 4, verse 1 of Revelation, the church is called up into heaven. The rest of chapter 4 and 5 is setting the stage for Jesus being worthy to open up the seals of the scroll. When Jesus opens up the seals of the scroll, wrath of God comes upon this earth. The church can't be here because it's the wrath of Jesus that is being unleashed by unleashing the seals of the scroll. The church is promised to not see the wrath of God. And so then we have these seals, 2, 3, and 4 we're going to emphasize later on. 2, 3, and 4, the seals, which brings global warfare that leads to a fourth of the world's population dying. That is capital T, tribulation. And then after those seals lead to global government coming, then the Antichrist takes over. And people that say, well, you know, the first 3.5 years of the tribulation period, the Antichrist is in charge and he brings peace to the world and all this other stuff. So that's not the wrath of God. So the wrath of God doesn't come until after that. And so the church is here for the first half of the tribulation. Well, they haven't read about Seal 7, which is opens the wrath of God for trumpets 1 through 6, and bad things are happening to this world. All the grass is burning up, trees are burning up, things are colliding into earth, causing the waters and the ships to be killed and everything else. So the first 3.5 years of the 7-year tribulation period are not nice here on earth. And it ramps up in the second half of the tribulation after the Antichrist comes and he takes off his happy face and he shows his true character. He becomes possessed by the devil himself And he goes to hunt down everybody that has faith in God. Faith in Jesus. So, well, Kevin, you're saying there's saints in the tribulation period, so that's the church. No, they're tribulation saints. On the day of the rapture, there's not a single believer in Jesus on planet Earth. But after we're gone, there's going to be the witness of the 144,000, the witness of the two witnesses in Jerusalem, Revelation 11, and other witnesses that are going to cause some people to go, you know what? I should have believed in Jesus. I should have listened to my Christian neighbors. I should have read my Bible. I should have listened to that pastor that told me I needed to get right now. And they're going to be repenting. They're going to be hearing the gospel. They're going to be able to become a believer in Jesus. But they're all going to die. They're going to die in the persecution of the Antichrist if they live through the natural disasters that are wiping out another third of the world's population. So in the first half of the tribulation period, along with the wars that are coming, one half of the current world's population is dead before you get to the middle of the tribulation period. At least. I mean, that's what the Bible says. In this plague, another third of the world's population dies. It's not saying, and others. It's not saying, and only that. So it could be more than that. It could be a lot more than that. Half of the world's population. When I did the Revelation study, I mentioned that a fourth of the world's population, 2 billion people right now, I start piling up nations to find out how many people that is. 2 billion people is every man, woman, and child in America. Again, assuming, you know, I put child, even though there, a lot of those are going to get raptured. Every man, woman, and child in America. Every man, woman, and child in China. And every man, woman, and child in UK. That's 2 billion people. It's hard to put your mind around how cataclysmic that is. And then you repeat that depopulation in the first 3.5 years of the tribulation period. The first 3.5 years of the tribulation is not a nice time on earth. So let's get into the Daniel verses. And Daniel was just like, wow, God, I realized that the captivity, the Jews were carried captive to Babylon, and it's been 70 years. And Jeremiah had prophesied 70 years you're going to be in captivity. And Daniel is reading the book of Jeremiah. He's reading prophecy, and he goes, whoa, God, we're close. And so he seeks God, and God gives Daniel this most incredible, this chapter, as Chuck Smith taught in his Through the Bible, he said, this is the most incredible chapter. This is the most important chapter for timing of biblical prophecy. Without Daniel 9, we're in trouble. In fact, in Revelation, you can read Revelation, and you go, when does the 7-year tribulation start? You can't figure it out. You can't figure out where it starts in the book of Revelation. You can figure out when the mid-tribulation is, because that's when the Antichrist commits the abomination of desolation. And there's war in heaven in Revelation 12. But at the beginning of your supplication, wanting to know from God, the command went out, and I have come to tell you, for you are greatly beloved. Therefore, consider the matter and understand the vision. And one of the handouts over there is Dr. David Reagan's Daniel's 70th Week of Years. When did it start? Has it ended? Or is there a gap in it? And it's published at raptureready.com. And you can also listen to our Daniel study, where I spend almost 2 Sunday morning services on the timing. And we're not going to obviously take that much time, but I already explained it to you there's, and you can see it here. This is out of David Reagan's. God says there's going to be 7 weeks of years, and 62 weeks of years combined is 483 years up here, 483 years before Messiah comes and is cut off. And then he's showing this prophetic gap. It's cut off until it starts again. When does it start again? When a global leader called the Antichrist by the Bible makes a covenant with many for 1 7-year period of time, which we'll be getting into. And so this is the graph, you know, the visual of what we're about to read. And right now this prophetic gap is the present church age. You can read the Old Testament 1,000 times, and you won't see clearly the church in there. And Paul even admits that. It was the mystery of the church. It's there, like we covered in our Sunday morning services, there's prophecies in Amos and Isaiah and other places that the Gentiles are somehow going to be able to come to faith. But you can't easily put it into, oh yeah, I know, Jesus is going to come, the Messiah is going to come, he's going to die and suffer on our behalf like Isaiah 53, Psalm 22. And then he's going to be cut off. And then he's going to start a church. It's going to be a Jew and Gentile church, just faith in Jesus and getting away from Moses and everything. And then Jesus is going to come back to fulfill these, you know, God is mad. You know, he comes back to bring wrath and he destroys those who are destroying the earth. You know, it's not perfectly clear until we get to the New Testament prophecies that fill in those blanks and we see the church in here. The church is going to be done when the tribulation, shortly before the tribulation starts. So 70 weeks, literally in the Hebrew means 77s. 77s of years, you can tell from the context, because it later on talks about how many days are associated with this, are determined for your people, what were Daniel's people? The Jews. And for your holy city, Jerusalem, to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the Most High. So at the end of 483 years, Jesus was cut off. What had he accomplished to that list? Had he brought reconciliation for iniquity? Yep, we can be reconciled to God. Our iniquity can be reconciled through the faith in Jesus, his anointing, you know, his blood shed for us. Did he anoint the most holy place? Well, in a way, his blood was shed in heaven, in the tabernacle in heaven, it says in the book of Hebrews. So he anointed the holy place in a way. But what, has he made an end of sin? No. Did he bring in everlasting righteousness? Has he brought it, did Jesus' first coming bring in everlasting righteousness? Did he seal up the vision and the prophecy? Have all prophecies been fulfilled? No. Has he anointed the most holy? Is Jesus anointed as the most holy reigner on earth, Messiah of the Old Testament prophecies? No. So in other words, Daniel gets told there's 490 years are determined upon your people, your holy city, Jerusalem, and all these things are going to happen by the end of the 490 years. Only two of those were fulfilled, really, in Jesus. The others are waiting to be fulfilled. So since it's been a whole lot more than 490 years, since the commandment to go and restore and rebuild Jerusalem, which happened around 445 BC, until now, then either the prophecy wasn't fulfilled or there was a stopwatch and it stopped. Hopefully I'm making this really clear because that is really, really important. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the command to go and restore and rebuild Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince, there shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. And the street, you know, Jerusalem and the street and the place around there will be built again in the wall, even in troubling times. And if you read Ezra and Nehemiah, it was troubling times to build that, to restore Jerusalem. The Arabs around them were trying to kill them then as they do today. And after the 62 weeks, which is the second half, you know, after 7 weeks and 62, meaning after 69 total weeks, after 483 years, Messiah, Jesus, shall be cut off, sacrificially killed is what the karat is the Hebrew word means, sacrificially killed, but not for himself. He was sacrificed for us. And the people of the prince who is to come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. So who destroyed the temple in 70 AD? Who did that? The Romans. So this is really important. The people, Romans, of the prince who is to come, which is a future Antichrist. And this is really, really, really important. Daniel is telling us the Romans are going to destroy the temple and the sanctuary. And in the future, there's going to be a prince who is to come, one of the names of the Antichrist. He's going to come from those people. The people, whoever destroys the temple, that's where the Antichrist is going to come from. Shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, fulfilled in 70 AD. The end of it shall be with a flood until the end of the war. Desolations are determined. And you know, the Jews were dispersed. There's going to be desolations. There's going to be conflict for years after the destruction of the temple. Now, the reason this is so important, Bible teachers have been saying for decades. I can remember Chuck Smith even taught it again in his Daniel prophecy, that means that the Antichrist is going to come out of the European Union. And I'm going to say that's not true because we're going to look at another verse in chapter 7 But it's not the European Union. It'll be an offshoot of the European Union. Did Rome ever get totally destroyed? What did Rome bring to the world? They brought the idea of a Senate, representative government, you know, leaders and stuff like that. It's the Western democracy. So it's going to be the West. Well, is the West trying to put their tentacles into controlling the entire world right now? And years ago, it's not on the European website anymore, but it was 2012, I went to the European Commission to try and look for the Club of Rome. In my search for the Club of Rome map, Club of Rome is a globalist organization, their map of what they envision the world in the future. But what I found at the European Commission website is a map that was identical to the Club of Rome map, which shows the world being cut up into 10 nations. The African Union, the South American Union, the North American Union, Mexico, Canada, and America, all dissolving as nation states into the North American Union, European Union, Southeast Asia Union. And that's their plan. It was EU in the world. The tab was EU in the world. Click, you see 10 nations. They took it down. And I think because they probably found out, we showed our hand to those crazy Christians and they're using this to teach Bible studies, which I did. And then it went, and others I'm sure caught it and did it too. And so they took it down. And so Europe is where the Antichrist comes from in a sense, but he doesn't have to come from the European Union. When Chuck was teaching, he goes, and look at what happened, because we just had Greece just became part of the European Union, and that means we got 10. That means we're almost there. That was 50 years, 40-some years ago. No, it's when the whole world has 10, because we're going to see Daniel says later on in chapter 7, earlier in chapter 7. It's this fourth beast that rules the world is the whole world. So the Antichrist is going to come out of the Roman Empire's influence that is going to be the West. So the Antichrist will come out of the West. Some people say he's going to be a Muslim, and that's absolutely ridiculous compared to what the scriptures say. We don't have time to cover that. So then Daniel 9:27, then he, the prince who is to come, from verse 26, shall confirm a covenant. So you know what's between verse 26 and 27? 2,000 years. So write that in your Bible. You know, make a line. There's 2,000 years difference. And it's not the first place that that prophetic word does this, where there's a big gap. Remember when Jesus went into the synagogue and he opened up the scrolls and he said, and he rolled up the scroll and he says, today this is fulfilled in your hearing. You know, give sight to the blind, da, 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 da. And then he stopped at a comma. Because then the next, right after the comma is, and to bring judgment and stuff to the earth, and Jesus said, well, that's not fulfilled for 2,000 years. So right there, at a comma, there's a 2,000 year gap. So there's 2,000 years between, at least, between 26 and 27. But the prince who is to come shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week, 7 year period of time, but in the middle of the week, 3.5 years, he shall bring an end to sacrifice. So what does that require? The Jews to build a temple. The Jews to start sacrificing again. The covenant will probably allow them to do that. The covenant we covered recently in our study, in Isaiah 28, it says the Jews will make a covenant with death. They'll make a covenant with the Antichrist to avoid a scourge that comes. But then the scourge they tried to avoid ends up coming to them anyway. If you're going to have global government, what do you have to have? A global religion. You need to have a common religion. What's the common religion that the spirit of the Antichrist is trying to bring to the world? Just this kumbaya, everything, it doesn't matter what you believe as long as you don't say that your way is the only way. And they're going to try and force that on the Jews, apparently, and the Jews are going to they're going to make a deal with the Antichrist, and they're going to get an exception that lets them worship the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob according to the law of Moses. And to avoid the scourge, to avoid the judgment if they believe their God is the only God, they're going to make a deal. And then the Antichrist is going to bring an end to sacrifice and offering and commit the abomination of desolation. until the consummation, until Jesus comes back, which is determined is poured out on the desolate. And so this is a very important prophetic scripture. It tells us the Antichrist is going to come. He's going to make this deal. It's going to go good for the Jews for a while. 3.5 years later, he goes and hunts down the Jews, and God protects the Jews. Yeah. Now we're going to go to Daniel chapter 7, verse 23. You know, really, when I think of looking at Daniel, the time of the apostles, from that section we just read, that the Messiah is going to be cut off. You're the Messiah. Well, according to Daniel, you're going to get cut off. You're going to be sacrificially killed. That's really exciting. Instead, Jesus tells them 5 times he's going to go get killed, going to get sacrificed, and they don't believe him. And Peter actually says, no, that ain't going to happen. But they ignored the prophetic word. And people in the church today are ignoring this kind of prophetic word that tells us what is going to be happening that truly affects the world and explains everything that we're seeing. Why are they opening the border and bring millions of people in here? Daniel 7 and 9. Why are they making evil good and good evil? Isaiah and Daniel. Why are they preaching, live local, think global? Daniel. Why do they hate make America great again? What's wrong with making a nation great again? Daniel. You can't have 194 nations now. And you're a globalist. You want to create global government under the inspiration of Satan, who's inspiring all this around the world. And somebody wants to be great, as one of the 194. Well, then that makes, dozens want to be great. We're trying to get down to 10, and you're not allowed to be great. Thus, he said, the fourth beast shall be a fourth kingdom on the earth. This is an earlier vision of Daniel where he sees these four beasts, and Daniel's really bought, and the beasts are attempts at world government. Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, Rome. Rome never died. The vision in Daniel, the image of the beast is the Rome goes 2 legs that turn into feet with 10 toes. We don't have time to cover all this. So, 10 toes, the 10-nation global empire. And here's what Chuck and everybody else that was teaching me 40 years ago should have really paid attention to. Which shall be different from all the other kingdoms, which only rule over a portion of the world, and shall devour the whole earth. The whole earth this time. Trample it and break it in pieces. The 10 horns are 10 kings who shall arise from this kingdom. And another shall rise after them. He, the Antichrist, shall be different from the first ones and shall subdue 3 kings. So here's, if we take this literally, 194 nations are going to be turned into 10. And we're going to explain, what has to happen for that to occur biblically. So it's going to go to 10. And do we know who the Antichrist is yet? Because there's going to be a ruler over each one of those 10. Nope, we just still don't know who he is. Because then another one, the Antichrist, is going to rise from the middle of the world government somewhere. He comes and with incredible power, he takes out 3 of the heads of the forming 10-nation global empire. And then he becomes the head over all 10. He becomes that chief guy. Over the world. And so then, as soon as you see a person, we aren't going to be here, we're going to be in heaven. But as soon as the world sees a person that rises up and takes out 3 of the heads, assassinates them, whatever he does, that's the Antichrist. That's when the world will know from the Bible who the Antichrist is. He shall speak pompous words against the Most High, shall persecute the saints of the Most High, and shall intend to change times and law. Then the saints shall be given into his hand for a time, times, and half times. The last 3.5 years of the tribulation, the saints are given into his hand to kill them. And it goes on to explain that. He's going to kill them. And I love this one-liner when people say, I believe in a post-tribulation rapture. Well, then you don't believe your Bible. And what do you mean? Daniel says that the Antichrist is given power to kill all believers during the tribulation period. So there's nobody to rapture at the end of the tribulation period. All true Christians who have become believers in Jesus are all dead. In fact, Daniel chapter 12 says, when the power of the holy people has been completely shattered, then the end comes. Then Jesus returns. There's nobody to rapture at the end of the tribulation. But verse 26, but the court will be seated. You know, when Jesus comes back, he goes, okay, now it's time to judge. Court will be seated. They shall take away his dominion. Antichrist and his right-hand man, the false prophet, get thrown into the pit of hell, into the lake of fire when Jesus comes back, Revelation 19. His dominion, to consume and destroy it forever. Then the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven shall be given to the people, the saints of the Most High. And this is Jesus setting up his millennial kingdom on earth for the survivors that are on earth. Matthew 25 explains this, and some of these things I'm rattling off, you can go to our Bible studies on calvarypo.org and go to these chapters and hear more. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. This King Jesus, for 1,000 years, everybody will be obeying King Jesus sitting on the throne of David in Jerusalem. This is the end of the account. As for me, Daniel, my thoughts greatly troubled me and my countenance changed, but I kept it in my heart. The last 3.5 years are going to be a horrible time on planet Earth. And so now, how do we get from 194 nations to 10? That's what we have. If we're believers in the Bible, then we know somehow that has to happen. And so this is where we're going to cut off YouTube. Hopefully I didn't get in trouble for what I said earlier. And it's going to go to Rumble. So if you're watching on YouTube, then we're going to go to Rumble for the rest of it, because we want to answer this question of how do we get there from where we're at. So let's go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 6. Item number one, how do we get there? Globalist-minded elites have to take power over the 194 governments. That's one thing that we know has to happen. Are there any globalist organizations that are trying to infiltrate the political structures of all nations of the world to try and bring that about? Okay. And when Chuck was teaching on this, they didn't exist. They weren't even out of the closet. In fact, up until 5-10 years ago, you were a conspiracy nut to think that there were globalist organizations that were trying to bring about global government. And now, they're totally out in the open. They don't even try and hide it. The World Economic Forum has been working for decades, actually, to educate elites in the political world to get them placed into the government. You know, we talk about George Soros. You know, George Soros has spent millions and millions of dollars to get certain political people into power in this country, down to the level of district attorneys and stuff. Because what do you accomplish if you get district attorneys that let every criminal go and only arrest people that try and stop criminals? Then what do you create in the country? You create chaos. You create a disintegration of the fabric that holds a once God-fearing society together to be identified as the nation of America. And if you need to destroy America to morph it into a North American Union that is not, it doesn't have that privileged status in the eyes of its people, then you have created, you've destroyed the fabric to let it become part of the global. Live local, think global, get along, or you're going to be dealt with. And so he puts all these politicians, he gives them the money, along with the elections and everything else that can happen. So what's keeping that from happening? Who are the people that are on to these people? Bible-believing people that know the book of Daniel, know the book of Revelation. You guys are flies in the ointment. You guys are exposing it. And not that everybody that in the alternate media that's aware that this is happening are Christians, but you know what? Every single one of them are influenced by Christians, because they'll reference the Bible. They'll reference the Antichrist. They'll reference these things. And, you know, where does the Olympics even have the audacity to, in your face to God, to have the fourth horseman of the apocalypse to be part of the opening ceremony? That comes from the Bible. And they're making them, it's in your face. You know, we're going to mock you because they know we are restraining. And that's what 2 Thessalonians 2:6 says. And now you know what is restraining, that he, the Antichrist, is the context of this section, may be revealed in his own time, for the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains the Holy Spirit dwelling in the hearts and minds of believers, you, is restraining this global government from taking over. Will do so until he is taken out of the way in the rapture of the churches. I'm throwing that in as my understanding interpretation. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming, second coming of Jesus, Revelation 19. The media, we're declared terrorists if we believe in the things of the Bible. We're declared terrorists by our own FBI. Because we're making it clear to our own citizens something that is, they just, no. Why does our media not talk about the World Economic Forum infiltrating the country of Canada and Argentina and all these other places where Klaus Schwab was able to say, you know what, I'm just so excited. I go into Canada and we own them. You know, we own the majority of the people that are in the parliament in Canada, and we own Argentina, and they pretty much own America too. Where, you know, Republican, Democrat, there's a lot of Republicans that are globalists. They have to fear God and state publicly that they are completely against the globalist agenda for me to think that they're really not a rhino. We have to be taken out of the world. So if I wanted to create global government, and they do, they've studied this, and actually, one of the first things we have from the Bible is, what is Psalm 2 says? The rulers of the world plot against the Lord and against his anointed. So the Bible tells us there's a conspiracy in the last days against God. We're going to conspire. We're going to plot against the Lord and his anointed to cast off their shackles of the law, of righteous living, of everything else. The thou shalt and thou shalt not. We're going to cast it off, and we're going to rule. With man is going to rule over the world. Psalm 2, prophecy being fulfilled before our eyes. Next thing is, I'm going to censor all speech that's contrary. That's what you would have to do. You would have to be able to control the speech of everybody to where you can't let them change the narrative and get a critical mass to oppose you. Now, think about how hard that would have been just 40 years ago. I worked, when I was in the Navy, we're having to print out stuff for, you know, nuclear drills and the prototype and everything. I'm using a mimeograph machine, you know. And I can take that and I can make as many copies as I want to. Did you know that all the printers now are all tied into the network. They're all tied in. You even copy something on your copier. You print something on your printer. It's tied to whatever they want it to go to. The HP and stuff, well, they'll send it wherever it's asked for. You can't get the message out. The way Satan has inspired technology is now we do it on the phone, we do it online, we do this, we do that, and now we think, oh, this is so great, I can keep in touch with so many people, but then we know they're sniffing it and shutting it down. They did it during COVID. They took down the narrative, and they shadow banned people, they kicked them off of Facebook or this or that because they weren't going along with the narrative. You heard about what's happening in Britain that some kids were killed by Muslims supposedly. And then they let that word get out, and there was tens of thousands of people that said, okay, we're fed up. We're done with this. These people are coming into our country and killing it. What did the government do? Turned against them. Turned against them to the point where they're even saying they're going to arrest Americans. They're going to extradite Americans to UK to put you in jail if you voice agitation to say, yes, those people should put an end to the immigration that is happening in Europe, in UK. And somebody was saying, telling me that you can put down any flag you want to in your taxi cab, but you can't put the British flag in a taxi cab in UK. because that's nationalism. You're trying to hold on to the UK nationalism. So what I do is censor all free speech, arrest and kill leaders of the opposition, and I would infiltrate every country with different cultures so that I water down. I'm going to spread them all over. I'm going to put them all over the country. So at any time, I can create a situation that brings very close civil war in UK. And they stopped the civil war by arresting all the people that were fighting against the corruption of their society. And then they put that out. And then the guy sits there and says, and I'm telling you, you write anything on social media, you communicate in any way to stir up this continuing riot and violence that you guys are bringing to say, stop it. I would own the mass media. I would take over mass media, mainstream media. Everybody mocks me. The alternate media mocks mainstream media because it's a propaganda machine for the globalists. That's all it is. I would own the leaders of the military so that the military can't rise up. Did we see that happening during the election interference that happened on the alleged election interference? The military was right there, circumventing the powers of President Trump. I would own the educational system. I would create a National Education Association, and I would make sure that all those kids hear nothing about God, nothing about Jesus, and they are taught things that will completely destabilize and destroy the American culture of righteousness and adherence to the Word of God, to the point where, you know, how could this happen that they let a child get mutilated without the parents having any say about it? You sit there and you pull your hair out, and how could, if you had it, how can we do this? It makes perfect sense. See, this is what's so liberating about knowing the Bible and knowing the days that we're in. It's because there's an agenda. And they're very, very effectively accomplishing their agenda. And so you sit there and you think you can sit around the temple. Don't you know what you're doing? You're destroying our culture. You're bringing in lawlessness. You're affecting these kids. That was the plan. Get out of my office. Sorry, you figured it out. And not only that, but I read a book that was written in the 60s about, it was called The Iron Mountain Report on the possibility and desirability for world peace. This is right after the Cuban Missile Crisis. And they said, you know, we almost came close to nuking the world. We got to bring about global government to keep it from happening. And one of the things they advocate there is creating global government, which is going to get rid of global warfare, which means people are going to populate. And so then what are you going to do with the extra population? And they were advocating you're going to have to do like Hunger Games stuff. And we have to do something to embrace abortion. We've got to get abortion full-fledged. We've got to get and the homosexual agenda going because then you don't have kids. You know, people are crying about how the population in many countries around the world, including China, are decreasing right now. The globalists, yeah. That's what we want. If we have our way, everybody would be homosexual until we started running out of people altogether, and then we'll change that enough because we want them, no people. You know why? Who is behind the globalists? Satan. What does Satan, what does he think about people? Kill them all. Don't let them ever live. Kill them all. Force massive immigration from nations that have completely different culture. There was a KGB defector, and we have this, and we'll post this. It'll be a link to it. It's already on our website, but we'll link on this page of our calvarypo.org topical study, prophecy, timeline, August 2024. We'll have a link to this KGB guy who was interviewed decades ago about how communists have studied what it takes to destroy a country where you don't even have to go to war with it. And it takes a generation. And these are the steps. You have to demoralize. And he said there's communist infiltration into your country already. And they're all working to demoralize through taking over the mass media, taking over the educational system, and making it so that you as parents are sitting there, what can I do? what can I do about it? You're just demoralized. It takes 40 years. I think, you know, you can listen to the exact time. I think he said it was about 40 years. Then you destabilize the society. Once you've accomplished the demoralization of the country, you then destabilize it, which is only a short period of time. And then you engineer a crisis, which is a very short period of time. And then he said, and then in the crisis, that's when the communists truly take over. They take over during the crisis. And then he goes, and then you get normalization. And when normalization comes, you've got to watch it. He just sits back and he goes, you're dead. Then they give you the new normal. How close are we to, at what phase? Are we demoralized as a country, the God-fearing people in the country? We're done. We're done demoralized. Are we starting to destabilize our country? And how hard would it be to engineer a crisis? Let's say the crisis were to be Trump wins the election. Let's say the crisis is Kamala wins the election. And then you have civil war. Do you think the globalists want civil war? Absolutely. You know why? Because civil war is crisis. And then just like what's happening in Britain, you give me a crisis, then the government has to sit there. We have to come in and we have to put a stop to this. And then they shut everybody down. The new normal is you don't get to communicate. You don't get to not be in our jails. You don't get to do anything unless you go with us. We say immigration is going to destroy, you know, they don't say destroy Britain. Immigration is great for Britain. It just diversifies everything that's here. And just the fact that they kill and knife some of your kids and stuff, what bothers you about that? We need to depopulate anyway. And so they're ready for the crisis. Have we created, are there any nations that don't like to go along with the globalists? What are some of the nations that don't like the fact that the Western world thinks that they rule the world and everybody has to kowtow to what the Westerners want? Russia. Any others? Iran. Muslim world. What do they have to do to get rid of those? Looks like war. And that's what the Bible says. Here's four horsemen of the apocalypse, chapter 6 of Revelation. When he, Jesus, opened up the second seal, I heard the second living creature say, come and see. Another horse, fiery red, went out, and it was granted to the one who sat on it to take peace from the earth. I want to emphasize again, chapter 6 of Revelation is after chapter 4. Chapter 4, the church gets raptured. Chapter 6, Jesus is opening the seals, bringing the wrath of God. What does he do? He pulls his restraining force away from the world. You want war? I don't want you to be at war. I'm going to restrain you by people that think, have common sense, like let's not nuke the world off of existence. And I'm going to pull back and let you guys have your war. He will take peace from the earth and that people should kill one another. And there was given to him great sword. When he opened the third seal, I heard a third living creature say, come and see. So I looked and behold, a black horse, and he who sat on a pair of scales in his hands. And I heard a voice in the midst, verse 6, Revelation 6:6, in the midst of four living creatures saying, a quart of wheat for a denarius. So in other words, you'll get one quart of wheat for a day's labor. And that's not, you know, that's probably not a total 2,000 calories for whatever you're doing. So, and three quarts of barley for a denarius. Don't harm the oil and the wine. When he opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature say, come and see. So I looked and behold, a pale horse. And the name of him who sat on it was death. And Hades followed with him. And power was given to them over a fourth of the earth to kill with sword, with hunger, with death, and by the beasts of the earth. So peace is going to be taken from the earth. And here's, are we close to peace being taken from the earth? Only God knows when it's really going to happen. But it's every day in the news. It's every day, maybe today. Maybe today Iran's going to start it. And then Korea, South and North Korea. Then it's going to be Russia and NATO. And then it's going to be China and Taiwan. Then it's going to be, you know, Israel and, you know, going to Iran and everything else that they're having to do. And Israel's just, you know, Russia said that they're going to get into it to help Iran. And so it's going to be Israel and Russia. I mean, everybody's getting ready to cause war. So here's the timeline, and we'll wrap it up with this. Here's what I just read is SEALs 2, 3, and 4. 1/4 of the world's population dies, and I think, and others. Psalm 83, Isaiah 17, 19, and Jeremiah 49 are going to be wars to start getting the global government going. So global government's going to start to come. The survivors after 1/4 of the world's population is dead, they're going to go, you see, make it never happen again. Well, we're going to take the Second Amendment away. We don't care. Take it away. Just make it never happen again. We're going to take all the weapons of mass destruction, all the chemical weapons, all the biological weapons. We're going to wrap them all up, destroy them all. All nations have to do this. We have to have the power over all nations to make them do this. We don't care. Just do it. Just get rid of it all. So the earth will be disarmed. The military-industrial complexes of the rest of the world will be disarmed. How do I know that? Because Ezekiel 38 and 39 is a conventional war. It's not nuclear. And apparently, this is rebellion to the global government. Russia and her allies rebel against Western global government plan and start to invade Israel. God destroys them. But this is not planes and nukes and everything. This is a massive human army coming to the hills of Israel. And what happens? It's not Israeli Defense Forces drop a nuke on them. Israel doesn't do anything because they've been disarmed. Right now they have nukes. You know, if a massive army congregated in the Golan Heights against to invade Israel right now, they go, oh good, they're all in one place. Boom. But that's not what happens. God has to intervene and stop them. So something happens between now and the Ezekiel 38-39 war where Israel has no armament to protect itself. God protects them. That's going to freak out the world. According to Ezekiel 39, the whole world freaks out and they go, man, we just can't kill those Jews. And that's what's going to allow the Antichrist to make a deal with Israel. You get to be in a special covenant. Go build your temple and everything. We thought you were going to die when we did Psalm 83, Isaiah 17, and Ezekiel 38-39. We thought you were going to be dead because you're pesky. We can't create a global government with Jews. So they're going to make a special place for him and a special consideration for him. And the Jews are going to be cleansing the land for, you know, they're going to be burying all this massive horde of these invading armies. And then they cleanse it spiritually so that they can start their temple worship. And the Antichrist is going to let that happen. And that's what, boom, that's what starts the 7-year tribulation. That from that moment on, you can count exactly when Jesus comes back. And so when God says nobody knows the day or the hour of Jesus' return, then you can't believe you can't be a post-tribber. Because if you think it's the second coming that Jesus raptures us when God told us we don't know when the rapture is going to be, you can know the exact day. According to Daniel chapter 12, you can take the exact day from the Antichrist committing the abomination of desolation until Jesus comes back, you know exactly what it's going to be. There's no post-trib rapture. There's no mid-trib rapture. Why no mid-trib rapture? One line. If the whole church gets raptured in the middle of the tribulation, after a fourth of the world's population dies, after another third of the world's population dies, meaning a total of a half of the world's population dies, and you're still in the church and you're still here, and you get raptured then. Well, what happens when the Antichrist commits the abomination of desolation? What does he do? He goes to make war against the Jews and her offspring and those who have the confession of Jesus on their lips. Well, if the church gets raptured right at the mid-tribulation, at the abomination of desolation, who does he go persecute? They all just got raptured. So it can't be the end of the tribulation because there's nobody to rapture. They're all dead. It can't be the middle of the tribulation because there's nobody for the Antichrist to persecute. And the Bible clearly teaches we're gone before the wrath of God. And the wrath of God starts when Jesus starts popping seals. And that takes peace away from the world. We're gone before peace is taken from the world. So that's the timeline. And there's other timelines in here that you can study on your own, and they're going to be part of what's posted on our website because it'd be another hour study to go over the details of these, but these timelines are intended to give you some food to Bible study to look into those items. So now we'll open up for Q&A. Is there any, and I should say that before we started this, there was already a question that came up about during the rapture, do the children go? Yes, all children go. Where the Calvinist dogma that children are born as sinners is not true biblically. And so I believe that the children are going to be raptured that are below the age of accountability, an undefined time in the Bible. But as was mentioned earlier in the discussion, is that Jesus said, suffer the little children to come to me. Because the disciples were saying, keep those kids away. And Jesus rebuked them and said, allow the children to come to me. For what? For such is the kingdom of heaven. And he also told them, because they're angels, or they have angels. Well, Hebrews says angels are assigned to people that are inheriting everlasting life. So the way I see it, putting those two verses together, when you're a child, you have an angel that's looking over you. And then when you sin against God and rebel against him, you lost your angel. When you give your life to Jesus, you get your angel back. Maybe not the same one. I don't know. But the putting the verses together, that would be the aspect. So children are going to get raptured. The world is, and the New Agers, as I mentioned, the New Agers are prophesying from the ascended masters they get their channeled messages from, that the world is someday going to see the disappearance of a bunch of people on earth because we're negative and we bring negative vibes to a world that needs positive vibes to bring in the age of Aquarius, where we realize our Christ consciousness, that we are God. And because we're preaching against we're God, we have to be removed so that the world can have its utopia. That's what they say. My dad was a New Ager. He followed a channeler named Sheldon Neidl, and I told my dad to send me some of the channeled messages. This was decades ago. And it was really weird because I wanted to see what they're saying, and that's exactly what that channeler said. So they're putting the message out. The world is going to be freaky when the church is gone. This world is going to go into a really strange, great signs and wonders that the Antichrist will have his powers because they're from Satan to deceive the people of the world.
I've got two questions.
Yeah.
The first one, please explain to the folks here how Isaiah 17 and Psalm 83 interact with one another. How one, they're almost one and the same.
Okay, so Isaiah 17, and here's the thing. Isaiah 17 is a one-hour teaching on YouTube. You can go to calvarypo.org, go to our YouTube channel, filter with most popular. The first two are Psalm 83 and Isaiah 17, the same title for both of them. Psalm 83 and Isaiah 17, one's one, one's the other. I have a different shirt on for the two studies. So that'll be the 1 hour discussion. But the most incredible thing, Isaiah 17, is a never before fulfilled war, which I didn't know it, some of these chapters you read and you go, well, maybe that was fulfilled in the past. But this is the burden against Damascus. Behold, Damascus will cease from being a city. It will be a ruinous heap. You can Google or DuckDuckGo. Oldest continuously inhabited city. You know what comes up? Damascus. And another second place is Homs, also in Syria. So this has never been fulfilled. It's going to become a ruinous heap. And it's going to be a place where, and then there will be cities of destruction where people will, the animals will go into those cities, but people don't go in there. To me, I think that's 2,700 years ago, God giving Isaiah wording that says it's going to be a nuclear destruction. Completely denuded. Damascus is going to cease to exist. Now let's bring it up to current time. Israel has been watching Syria, Assad of Syria, allow the Iranians to bring in billions of dollars worth of armaments that are intended to kill and destroy and annihilate the Jewish people. They have been going in, Israel has been going into Syria, bombing, as often as they can, airfields and other places of weapons storage. In the late, after October 7th, and Syria says, we're going to let them come in and wipe you out, Israel informed Assad of Syria, if we come under the missile barrage that would be an existential threat to the state of Israel, which isn't hard to do. You send missiles in, they're taking out Haifa and Ashkelon and Tel Aviv, then Israel's dead. A dinky little country. If that's going to happen, then we guarantee you Damascus is gone and you're dead. So Israel's already, they've already threatened Isaiah 17. The only way you take out the entire city and you make sure Assad is gone too is you're going to nuke it. And then it says, in that day, his, and this in the context is mankind, like in the world, in that day, his strong cities will be as a forsaken bow and an uttermost branch, which they left because of the children of Israel. There will be desolation. So what could be getting, what could be starting a global exchange where cities all over the world are being denuded destruction? It could be this lighting off of this Israeli war. And then imagine if all of a sudden we start having nukes land in some of our cities and other places get nukes landing, and we're going to say, the world's going to be saying, it's because the Jews went and attacked Damascus, went and did this against Hamas or Hezbollah or Iran. That's what got it all started, and now we have been nuked 2,700 years ago. 2,000 years where the Jews aren't even in the Israel, aren't even in there. Oh, and the other thing, the northern bases of Israel, the fortresses of Ephraim, is what it says in Isaiah 17, are no more. Israel knows that the accurate missiles that Iran has provided for Hezbollah can get through their missile defense system if a barrage comes, and they will target their underground silos for their airplanes and the runways that lead to them. I've been in Israel where you see a plane, you're on the road and you see this plane lands, and then it disappears because it disappears down into the underground hangars. All the hangars are underground, but if you bomb the runways, then they can't come and land. And you can't take them off. And Israel has already made the deal with Cyprus, the island of Cyprus, in this coming war, if they hit our northern bases, Isaiah 17 says they will be destroyed. In the coming war, our planes are going to want to land in Cyprus if they can't land in Israel. And Hezbollah found out about that, and Nasrallah of Hezbollah said, Cyprus, if you let the Jews land on your airports, we're going to bomb your airports. And then Greece says, well, if you do that, because Greek Cyprus, you do that, then we're going to come against you. And you know, just how quickly just a match could be lit over there and everything goes up. So to answer the question, Psalm 83, an hour, you can listen to an hour version, is the nations around Israel are plotting to destroy the nation of Israel to make it so it ceases from being a nation. That's their motive. Do the Arabs ever talk about annihilating the state of Israel? And Amir, we love Amir, he thinks that Psalm 83 was all fulfilled in 1948. The end of Psalm 83 says, then the nations will know that there's no God but the God of Israel. Meaning, have the Arabs abandoned the idea of there's no God but Allah and Muhammad is his prophet? Do they abandon that because they think it's not true? No. Psalm 83 hasn't been fulfilled. It will be fulfilled when all the nations conspire together to cause Israel to cease from being a nation, and when the dust settles, they're done, they're destroyed, and Israel's still there. Then they're going to finally say, according to Psalm 83, maybe Allah's got a bigger guy on the block than him. That's what Psalm 83 ends with. And so that hasn't been fulfilled. And so Amir will say, we have a peace treaty with Jordan. We have a peace treaty with Egypt. We have a peace treaty with Saudi Arabia and these other nations that are around Israel. Do peace treaties among Arab nations really mean that much? They mean nothing. And when push comes to shove and things start flying, the Arabs will unite. The Muslim Arabs, under the inspiration of Satan, will unite to destroy completely the nation of Israel. And what the psalmist says is, God, burn them as chaff of the wheat. Burn them as in the days of the judges, meaning Israeli defense forces. So Psalm 83 is not like Ezekiel 38, 39. Psalm 83 is, God, use the Israeli defense forces' capabilities to burn them. And that's what Israel will do. Reported, best number I've come up with from various different sources over the years is they got 250 nuclear weapons. And I was talking to Aaron Lipkin, a friend of mine from Israel that's been at this church, telling us about finding the lead tablet on Mount Ebal that goes to Joshua's altar. And I was talking to him, probably a month and a half ago. And he was bemoaning, he and a friend of his were bemoaning the fact of something big has to happen because otherwise they're going to be annihilated. They just see the effects of, we have tens of thousands of our citizens that have left entire communities in northern Israel, living in the apartments and their friends' houses and stuff. The apartments for tourists that are spending money for their economic situation that are gone because nobody's going to Israel. Nobody's having to be in these apartment, hotels and tourist places. The citizens of Israel are in these places because they can't do what their job is. They can't live in their homes for months and months and months. And the whole world is against us. The world thinks that we need to be annihilated instead of, they don't understand our hostages were taken. Why don't you just let us force them to give us our hostages back? They can't understand it. And then Biden says, well, we're going to hold back armament. And Netanyahu went to Biden and said, come on, you can't cut off our armaments. And what he told me, Netanyahu said, so this must have been their local news because I didn't hear it here. Netanyahu responded to Biden, look, we run out of bombs, we run out of missiles. We will fight with our fingernails until we win. And I said, well, Aaron, you know that's not true. Because when you run out of bombs and missiles, and this could be part of the plan, actually, what will you do? You'll nuke them. Before you use your fingernails, you're going to nuke them. Yeah, you're right. And see, we, the West, could actually, globalists could create crisis by simply cutting off armaments to Israel until they truly run out of bombs, and they run out of, Arrow missile defense systems and Iron Dome missile defense systems, because some of that stuff, the material comes from America. We have to support them. To where Israel is looking at, okay, we just ran out of ammo. If you're in a gunfight with somebody across and you run out of ammo, what do? You throw your grenades, because that's all you got left. And these are nuke grenades. They could actually orchestrate the assurance that there will be nuclear war by cutting off armaments. And we don't know what the true story is of how many bombs there are left and stuff, because the only people are telling us is the government. They don't tell the truth.
Second question.
Yeah. Did I answer your question?
Sure.
Okay.
As we just read in Daniel, the world governments formed to 10 nations. And then we also know that there's an apparent power struggle, even with the 10, because the Antichrist raises up over 3. The question is there a possibility that the prophecy of the Antichrist taking over 3 of the world's nations or leaders can be intertwined with Ezekiel 38, 39?
Could be. So look at this. The government is forming. So here you got 10 guys. And all of a sudden you have Russia. And who else is with Russia? Russia, Turkey, Iran, Ethiopia, Sudan, Libya. So you're going to have a problem with the African Union guy. The Africa Union guy was supposed to keep tabs on these guys and keep this from happening. He doesn't do it. You have Turkey part, whatever Turkey is, I think it's, Asia Union. And so Turkey is fighting it and Russia. And so, boom, the Antichrist comes and rises to power with the help of God, because God destroys the this massive, massive human army on the hills of Israel. And then he rises to power and says, look, this, we're now done. All the last holdouts on global government are gone. And God did it, and God raised me up. And I'm here as your Messiah, Jews. And then all of a sudden, it's done. Could very well be what happens. Okay.
So I was reading a verse in, I forgot which book it is, in, but it's towards the end of the Bible, concerning kids being raptured out or taken with us. It said something along the lines of, there are some of you that will be virgins, that will be clothed in white, that will walk alongside the Lord. Would that be considered kids?
The virgins that are walking with the Lord, I mean, if it's at the end of the Bible, you're talking Revelation, right? Maybe? Okay, let's go to Revelation, and I don't have this in my PowerPoint. If you're talking about what I think you're talking about is 144,000, so let me, and again, when I say no, I'm just saying that based on thinking you're talking about the 144,000. So let's go to the second section of Revelation that deals with 144,000. But Revelation 14, 1. And 14 is the middle of the tribulation. The Antichrist has committed the abomination of desolation. The 144,000 Jewish men, virgins, are taken to heaven. They're done. Their mission here on earth is done. Look and behold a lamb standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000 having his father's names written in their foreheads. And I heard the voice, a voice from heaven like the voice of many waters and like the voice of a loud thunder. And I heard the sound of the harpist playing the harps. And the 144,000 are the only ones that know the song. And then verse 4, these are the ones who were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are the ones who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. These were redeemed from among men, being first fruits to God and to the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God. Is that the verse? That's it. Okay, so I'm going to tell you what I think about the 144,000, which it's a minority report. But if you listen to prophecy teachers, they'll never tell you where they came from. They won't tell you where they came from, except they missed the rapture and there are 144,000. That then somehow Jews, chapter 7 says they're all Jews, they're all men, and they're from the 12 tribes of Israel, and they each get 12,000. 12,000 from the 12 tribes. And they're virgins. And in 14, it says they're virgins. I bet you could look all over the whole world, and you cannot find 144,000 Jewish men in whom there's no guile that are virgins. And how in the world did they follow the Lamb wherever he goes, and they were redeemed being the first fruits of God? When was the first fruits of God? It was at the early church. So here's my view based on that. In the early church, the thousands that we were reading about in Acts, thousands got saved that were Jews. In the early church, there's going to be 12,000 selected from the 12 tribes of Israel that are going to be beamed back down. After the rapture of the church, they're going to be beamed back down for this mission. And by definition, they're virgins. They've got glorified bodies. They were resurrected in the resurrection. Their souls that were already in heaven are now joined by bodies. They're going to be virgins. No giving and taking of marriage. They're going to be like the angels. And they get sent down into earth. And for 144,000 of you, or for the first 3.5 years, you're going to be preaching to the world. Because right after, in chapter 7, right after the 144,000, the next scene you see is the myriads that come out of the tribulation period as believers. So that's implying, it doesn't say there's 144,000 Billy Grahams, which, you know, they're often referred to, but it implies that. It implies that that is their mission. And they're going to be protected from all the cataclysms that are in the first half of the tribulation period, which again, think about this. See, here I have in this screen the 144,000 witnesses. We were just reading chapter 14 is the end of this era. It's 3.5 years into the tribulation period. Why did God send witnesses down? Why did he send Jewish witnesses down, or the popular opinion, somehow Jews that rejected Jesus all of a sudden become believers in Jesus and are the first fruits of God and follow Jesus wherever he goes? You know, where did they get those? Okay, so either way, why do they need those? Because the church is gone. God wants a witness. And at the moment we're raptured, there is no witness except creation and the Word of God if they haven't burned them all. Like Hitler tried to burn everything. He leaves 144,000 that are protected from the wrath of God because he has to protect them from the wrath of God because they don't deserve the wrath of God, even as being people, I think, beamed back down to earth. I shared this idea about being beamed down with Bill Salas. He's a guy I've communicated with, and when he was writing his first book, we were talking a lot. He's a very popular prophecy teacher, and he goes, and I was giving it to him to say, Bill, why don't you kind of start preaching this? Because he's a very biblical-oriented prophecy teacher. And he goes, oh, Kevin, I've gotten so much grief over saying this other thing that is totally true. You know, that's just, like, not normal. And I go, yeah, but... And he didn't have any argument against it. Except he didn't want to get any more grief from people by bringing something unorthodox to the table. So that is an unorthodox idea, but it makes sense. So tie it. So those are. So does that make sense? Yeah, they're not preaching. They're not looking for a wife during the first half of the tribulation period. So.
And if I may add to that. What is orthodox teaching is the two witnesses being beamed down from heaven in the form of what most
everybody,
Elijah
and Moses. Everybody agrees the two witnesses are beamed down by God. Everybody agrees with that. Yeah. Was Jesus born at zero, roughly, or was it 6 BC? Is that what you're asking?
Yeah.
It's more likely 4 to 6 BC. It wasn't zero. I mean... You know, so really, and this is a big deal because we know that Jesus was 30 years old when he started his ministry. And we know he served 3 years before he was crucified. And so people say 33 AD, he died. It was probably more like 27, 28. So it was because we now know better when Herod the Great died. And we know that Herod the Great died right at the time Jesus was born, because he's the one that ordered all the children in Bethlehem 2 years and under to be killed. So if he died in 4 to 6 BC, then that means Jesus must have been born 4 to 6 BC. But it really doesn't matter. I mean, here's where it really matters, is there's people that will count from that time 2,000 years. So let's say... Let's say Jesus truly died in 30 AD. 2,000 years, that makes it 2030. The rapture is 7 years before that, it's 2023. And people were saying that. Well, guess what? We're still here. And so, but God knows, and there's a Hosea verse, we're not going to be covering this during our timeline. There is a Hosea verse that does make it seem like it's 2,000 years from God's time of starting until then Jesus sets up his kingdom. So, but we don't know when that start date is exactly. So he goes away. It could be whenever. But we're getting close. It's kind of like when Daniel does say that from the command to go and restore and rebuild Jerusalem until the coming of the Messiah will be 483 years. The disciples of Jesus, we can tell that they were really paying attention to that because people were looking for the Messiah because they knew when the decree was made to go and restore and rebuild Jerusalem. And they go, oh, we're 480. Where's the Messiah? Where's the Messiah? Oh, we found him. We found him. But you wouldn't know exactly when he, you know, does it mean when he's born? Does it mean when he sets up his kingdom? Does it mean, you know, what does it mean that until the Messiah comes? And we're in the same thing now. What exactly does it mean that he goes away for 2,000 years and comes back to live with them? That's what it says in Hosea chapter 6. So it's like, God goes away, but he comes back to live among the Jews as their Messiah for the 1,000-year reign. So we're close to 2,000 years. Any other questions we covered? Yeah, Lori? Okay, so the question is that when the rapture does happen, will all children get taken under the age of accountability, get taken to be with God in heaven? And the answer is yes, that's what I think. It's not clear in the Bible, like you say. It doesn't say, but, and I've even thought my counter-argument to it, because I've been thinking about this for a while. My counter-argument was that Jesus said that when you see the abomination of desolation, know that its destruction is near, and you need to get out of town right now. You need to get off the roof. You need to not go in your home and pray that you're not having to flee on the Sabbath, that it doesn't happen on the Sabbath, because the Jews will be observing Sabbath. So pray that it's not during the Sabbath, or that you're not nursing. Well, there's children, but see, children are going to be born the first 3.5 years. So when God ends the church, he's going to be taking everybody that's innocent. Are babies innocent? Yes. Unless you're a Calvinist. And then you have to say, well, no, because they're born in sin. Yes, they all go to heaven. And somebody asked me last week or 2 weeks ago, what if the woman's pregnant? What would happen? And as crazy as this sounds, and again, I don't know. The Bible doesn't say. We don't know. But it is a human being. It's an innocent human being. And it's the generation of the church is over with. Innocent babies, I think God is going to spare them from the time of trouble that's coming to the earth, even if they're born to unbelievers, even if they're unbelieving children, because it doesn't matter. And people that think otherwise, including Chuck Smith, they say, well, that verse in 1 Corinthians that if a believer stays married to a non-believer because a non-believer doesn't kick them out, you know, that's good because otherwise the children wouldn't be holy. And I look at that verse as saying, otherwise they're not going to have the believing parent being able to communicate the gospel to them. I don't look at it like the believing parent gives a holy shroud to the child that's in the family. Because the Bible's clear, you don't pass down judgment and you don't pass down righteousness. And the baby, and what we believe here, and that's what my book is emphasizing, and I'm in an email discussion with a professor in Texas, a theology professor. He still says babies are sinners. They inherited sin from Adam, but they're not going to be judged. And I'm about to respond, okay, look, professor, the wages of sin is death. So how, see, everybody that doesn't recognize that babies are innocent until they sin against God, because that's when you sin against God, that's when you're a sinner. And that's what the Bible makes perfectly clear. But because the church for 1,000 years plus, 1,500 years, has been listening to Augustine, who says that they're sinners, then you end up with all these other problems. Well, you got to baptize the kid when they're infants or they're not going to be, or they have to be born to believing parents. They have to, all this other foolishness comes out of believing that babies are sinners or not. And so, it would be kind of weird, but what if somebody's pregnant and they just go, whoa, you know, I just lost my baby. There's already people, and I probably should have made this part of the video, but people are already, the New Agers, channelers, are already warning their clientele that there is about to be a time where people have to be removed from the earth to allow the rest that are left behind to realize the age of Aquarius. So people will be disappearing. So the Ascended Masters just took the babies too, just because of this time of trouble before this transition of the age of Aquarius comes in. And so there'll be an explanation for it if that happens. But we don't know. The Bible doesn't say clearly what happens to babies in the womb or out of the womb when the rapture happens. But that's what I think. Joel?
Yes. Another case of virgins. Mm-hmm. In Matthew 25, yep. The parable of the 10 virgins,
yep.
Kind of throws a puzzlement into some people's theories about the rapture and such.
Yeah.
It's clear that the bottom line is that we are to be alert, to be woke.
Right.
But
to be awake.
It, yeah, right. Christian, yeah. Woke, to be woke.
Yeah.
It doesn't, people say that represents the church. Some say that. There's many interpretations. But what would you say? It seems to be a puzzlement in there about the rapture.
On the virgins?
Yeah.
Very difficult section of scripture to interpret. Yes. But my view is that there's some people that say, yeah, I'm waiting for Jesus, but they don't really have the Holy Spirit of endurance. You know, there's faith, and then there's saving faith. If you have saving faith, you've got the oil to last the rest of your life. The parable of the sower, as I mentioned Sunday, a week ago. I'm so excited to hear the word of God. But as soon as persecution comes, they give it up. Or the parable of the seed that falls in weeds and the cares of the world and its deceitfulness of riches chokes them out and they don't have any fruit. And it's the same thing that, and Jesus said, you gotta watch, you gotta wait. What about the person who says, my master delays his coming? And then he goes and he beats his servants and gets drunk. And then Jesus comes. This is, you know, again in the scripture, paraphrasing a little bit. And then he comes and he cuts him and divides him a portion with the unbeliever. So it was a believer that was saying, you're taking too long. 50 years ago when I got saved, everybody was anticipating Jesus coming back. People were living as if he was going to come back. People were desperately witnessing to the people that were lost, their friends, their families. You've got to. You're going to miss the rapture. He's coming. A lot of those people are flaked out. Totally flaked out because he's delayed his coming. They don't have, and when Jesus comes, you don't have enough oil for your lamp. You were just sitting there and kind of just partying. Sorry, we're going. I'm not going to give you my oil. I'm going. And then the door goes shut. And the others go and get their oil and come back. They go and get their oil. I think that can mean I should have really paid attention. But you missed the rapture. That's great. You get to get saved during the tribulation period. Because you really didn't believe. And you weren't there for when the wedding groom, you know, was ready, the father was ready and said, go get your bride. You weren't there. You didn't know what to do. Because people are saying he's delaying his coming. People are mocking us teaching prophecy like this. People have been saying this forever and blah, blah, blah. They're mocking it. They're not waiting. And I've shared this story before. I can thank my pagan dad for helping me be a waiter because I thought he was leaving to go to the airport. So I called my friend to smoke in the garage with a gas can under the garage door so the air would go through before my mom came back from taking him to the airport. And you know what? He came back. He forgot something. So he caught me smoking. And what's going around here? Smoking? Bam! And just smacked my friend's head and my head together. Which his parents weren't too excited about. it always kind of stuck with me when I read the scriptures. You know, Jesus is going to come back. We got to be ready. And it doesn't matter if I'm waiting 50 years. It doesn't matter if I was poorly taught and thought rapture today, tribulation tomorrow. It could have been rapture today, but nobody 50 years ago could have been saying tribulation tomorrow because we had no global government. We had no Antichrist. We had no technology to allow the total enslavement of all communications and people's thoughts and attitudes on the entire global scale. It wasn't there. It is now. It can be done. The tribulation biblical scenario can now be accomplished. And I did a 2012, you know, how close are we to last day's 2012 update on our website? And I was saying in 2012, we're not ready. We're closer, but we're not ready. And now I'm saying, what's left? They truly do have us locked down technologically. They haven't told us yet. except for when the stuff like Britain happens and COVID happens and stuff like that, where it kind of, whoa, they can do this? They can cancel me? I can go, I can drive my big rig into Canada's capital and say, you got to stop this draconian, total tyrannical lockdown of our people. And they think that they can do it the old-fashioned way and all of their bank accounts get canceled? Yeah, that was impossible in 2012. It now is. Your bank account is at the whim of the government deciding you can still have it because you're a good comrade. And you become a bad comrade, they don't need a court to tell you, you know, okay, take, you know, all of it, take 50% of it. They just take it. It's gone. And how many people are going to resist that? Nobody's going to resist that. Oh, yeah, you want to keep your AR? Sure. Your bank account is going to be canceled. Ah, here, have my AR. I mean, that's what people will do. They now have the ability to control the world through the control of the financial systems of the world of everybody. Last question? That was last question? Father, we thank you for your providing for us, Lord, and we thank you for your prophetic word. And we thank you that, God, here we can sit in August of 2024 and realize that really the stage is ready. I mean, all we're waiting for is a curtain to go up and for your last day scenario to be played out on the inhabitants of this world. And as your word said, there's going to be such a delusion in the last days that people won't even have a clue what's coming. And we just thank you that we can, because of your word, have a clue, be watchful, trim our lamps, and ready for that trumpet blast when we hear that you're coming. The bridegroom is coming for his church. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.